Our reading is from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 18. Mark 2, verse 18. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunked cloth on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins." One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked round at them in anger, and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Good, please keep that passage open in front of you. You were given as you came in as well a sheet which has got some notes on it that you can follow through as I'm speaking. And if you want a pen to make notes, do wave a hand and Rob will come and bring you a pen. Well done. I think that, oh yes, over there. Thanks, Rob. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray, please, that you would teach us now from these various incidents with Jesus and the Pharisees. Father, would you be our teacher? Help us, Father, to see Jesus in his glory and to respond to him. Amen. Well, I wonder how you respond to that question on the screen. Do you need a rest? It's interesting how many people, and I know I do this, when we ask one another, "How are you doing?" You do this a lot on Sunday, don't you? You go around and you say to people, "How are you doing? How are you doing?" And everyone goes, not everyone, but lots of people go, I'm fine, busy, but fine. Isn't that how we always are? Very often, lots of us, we would go, we're busy. We're very busy people. And if I said, could you do with a rest? Lots of people would go, oh yeah, I feel like I do with a rest. The summer holidays feel like a long time ago now, don't they? Yeah, I could do with a break. Well, our first point this morning is work and religion. Like I say, we work very hard, don't we? If you're in paid employment, you do work hard. I know lots of people do work very hard. And thanks to technology, work follows you wherever you go. You can never get away from it. With your mobile phones, people can always get in touch with you, even at school. Do you remember at school, when you were at school, when I was at school, you knew which teachers were supposed to give you homework that day. And as it got towards the end of the lesson, if they hadn't given you homework, there was a quiet that went around the classroom, as you were just hoping that they would forget and wouldn't issue it. And then after the lesson, you go, yes, we didn't get homework. Children don't have that luxury anymore. Because they can issue the homework online. They can get at you wherever you are. Over the weekend, they can issue you homework. Feel sorry for the children of today. Work follows you. It always is with you. And even when we're not doing work or homework, there's loads of other jobs that we need to do, isn't there? You've got to look after your family. Look after your children, maybe. You've got work to do for them, jobs to do for them. There's homework to be sorted out, or meals to sort out, or nappies to change. Or there's always more to do. And then you've got your wider family that you need to look after them as well. So there's more to be done then. And on top of that, you're supposed to get exercise every day as well. There's never any rest. We're always working. And even when people retire, they then say, I've never been busier. You heard people say that when they retire? That you look forward to retirement? Always busy. Why are we so busy? Why do we work so much? Why do we fill our time? It's not always that people don't like being busy. We often like being busy. But why do we cram so much in? Tim Keller, in his book, suggests this. Hello. Tim, are you there? No. To prove ourselves, to convince God, others, and ourselves that we're good people. I think there's something over here that's buzzing. Is there some technology over that way that can be turned off? Ah. You're good at that, Red Van. That's very good. That's amazing. Yeah. Very good, it's a gift. So, Tim Keller saying, most of us work and work trying to prove ourselves to convince God, others, and ourselves that we're good people. Now, when he says that, I don't think he's just meaning that we're morally good, that we're making the right choices, but also that we are fulfilling ourselves, that we're making the most of what we've been given, that we're doing the right things by our family, that we're doing the best for people, and that no one can look at us and go, they're neglecting others, or they're neglecting their family. We work and work and work, trying to prove to ourselves, to God, and to others that we're good. That's his suggestion. You see, there's a work beneath the busyness. We want to prove ourselves. And therefore, we're frantically busy. And even when we take time off, do you find you don't rest? You can take time off, but you're still busy in your mind thinking about, you know, I should be doing something. I ought to be doing something. And then there's being a Christian. There's religion, as it were. And sometimes, well, maybe more than sometimes, it feels that being a Christian just adds to the list. Not only do I do my work, serve the family, take my responsibility with wider family, now I also need to go to church every Sunday, I need to read my Bible and pray and various other things as well. So that feels like that just adds on top of the list, and I'm just even busier than I was before, and I'm trying to cram it all in, and I'm hoping that, well, before God, maybe my conscience is clear that I am doing the right things and I'm doing what I should be doing. and hoping, secretly doubting, but hoping that God will be pleased with me. But do you see how that makes stopping, really stopping, almost impossible? There's always more we could do. Well, we would get on well with the Pharisees. I think they'd fit in quite well at Emmanuel Church. In this passage, there are several confrontations between the Pharisees and Jesus. And when it comes to religion, they were experts. They wanted to be as sure as they could be that God approved of them, that they had God's approval. And God had given the law. You have that in the Old Testament. And so their view was, right, we are going to do everything written in the law. And God did say, you're supposed to obey the law. So they were thinking, right, we will obey the law. We will do every single bit of it to the smallest detail. And then we will know we will have God's approval. We will work and work and work at the law, and then we'll be all right. We'll have God's approval. And two issues in particular come up in this passage, don't they? There's the issue of fasting and the issue of Sabbath. Fasting first. You see, they fasted. And they fasted a lot. In the Old Testament prescribed that there should be one fast a year. And by the time you get to the end of the Old Testament, there were more fasts than that. Fasts are times when you don't eat. But by the time you get to Jesus' day, the Pharisees had decided they would fast twice a week. Now, why not? Go the extra length. Show to God that we're really good, that we can prove ourselves to God. Why not do fasting twice a week? So that's what they did. And when it came to the Sabbath regulation, that was in the Old Testament as well. God said, work for 6 days, but don't work on the seventh day. Well, the Pharisees, wanting to make sure that they could be approved by God, said, well, how do we know what work is? We've got to define what work is. Let's define work. What's work? What's not work? So they came up with 39 things where they said, if you do these are work. So don't do them. And if you look them up online, it includes things like tying a knot and untying a knot and starting a fire, putting out a fire. I don't know what you do if your house is on fire, but that would be considered work. And picking grain would be counted as work. And healing someone would be counted as work. Do you see? They wanted to make sure they had God's approval, so they said, well, therefore, as long as we don't do this and this and this and this and the 39th thing, then we're okay with God. We've got God's approval. And then Jesus came along. And his followers didn't fast. They picked grain on the Sabbath, and Jesus healed on the Sabbath. What's going on? The Pharisees couldn't cope with this. Jesus, what are you doing? Well, in answer to them, and we can't get into the details of every single one, but I want you to see that what Jesus does is quite amazing. And it's quite wonderful, and it's incredibly liberating for you and me. He doesn't say to them, forget the law. He doesn't say to them, oh, those Old Testament laws, just forget about them. Let's not bother with them. No, he doesn't do that. But nor does he say, no, you're overdoing it with these Old Testament laws. Let me show you how you should be obeying them. He doesn't do that either. I want to show you what he does. And this is our second point. The arrival of the new wine. Let me explain that. See what Jesus does in each case. Would you have eyes down on the text? So verse 18, you see that the Pharisees and John's disciples, that's John the Baptist's disciples, they were fasting, verse 18, and they went to Jesus and said, how is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not? Now notice how Jesus answers. How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? Do you see what he does there? He points to himself and he says, you've got to understand who I am. Do you see that's what he does? He says, he doesn't take them into the Old Testament law and let's work it out. He says, no, hang on. I'm the bridegroom. And if the bridegroom is here, you don't fast. You don't do that at a wedding, do you? You don't fast at a wedding, you feast. He says, I'm the bridegroom. And when it comes to the Sabbath, when they challenge him about the Sabbath and the fact that his followers, his disciples, are picking corn on the Sabbath, he says, verse 27, have a look. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Do you see, he's making a claim about himself again. He's saying, I am Lord of the Sabbath. So in both cases, with fasting and the Sabbath, he says, know who I am. Which is why he does this bit about new wine. We looked at before when the children were in. He says, the new wine is here. And it won't fit with the old way of doing things. What's Jesus saying there? He's saying, I am the new wine. I am the new thing that is coming along. Now, put that together. He's saying, I'm the bridegroom. I'm the new wine. I'm the unshrunk bit of cloth. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. He's saying, know who I am. And if you know who I am, those Old Testament laws, they get transformed. Because he's saying, I don't fit with the old. Not just the Pharisees' way of doing things. Oh, they'd got it wrong. Don't have any doubts. The Pharisees weren't just a little bit wrong. They were completely wrong. They'd got it all wrong in their way of dealing with the Old Testament. But Jesus is saying, not just you've got it wrong, but actually I'm something new even compared to the Old Testament. Even if it was faithfully being lived out, I'm something new. And that produces something completely new for Jesus's followers. Peter Bolt wrote a book on Mark's gospel, and he says this, it's up on the screen. When the bridegroom appears, human beings are invited into something entirely new. Not a new religion, but a new vision of life has been revealed. The only response to this new vision is faith. Now, I want you to see, that is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, I am new. I'm the new wine. I am the unshrunk bit of cloth. This is something new. So I'm bringing a new vision of life. Now, I want you to see how that relates to the Sabbath. And as we see how this relates to Sabbath, we'll see how this relates to work and rest. Okay? So how does this relate to the Sabbath? Jesus says he is Lord of the Sabbath. Okay, let's get into the detail a little bit more. Verse 23. Would you follow it? Have your eyes down. Verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, look, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Okay, so that's according to their rules, what Jesus and his followers were doing was wrong. They shouldn't be picking the corn. He answered, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need in the days of Abiathar the high priest? He entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. And you think, what's that about? I think what Jesus is doing there is he's saying, okay, you're accusing me of doing what's unlawful on the Sabbath. Go back to the Old Testament, you'll find David did something unlawful as well. And I think Jesus just leaves it there. He doesn't give any more explanation. You want to ask him more, don't you? Say, well, hang on, how does that work? But he just leaves it there with them. And I think what he's just doing is raising with the Pharisees to say, look, David disobeyed the law because there was a greater need that he had at that moment. Which shows that the law was not given in the way that you're using it, Pharisees. Okay, let's move on. Verse 27, then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus is saying, now if you do go back to the Old Testament rules on Sabbath, why was it given? Why were you given the rules about Sabbath? You were given the rules about Sabbath, not so that you could tick the boxes of saying, I didn't do that work, I didn't do that work, okay, I'm all right with God. He gave it to you so you could rest. So you can have rest. Do you see, it's a bit like if you went on holiday and a member of your family every day stood there with a checklist saying, right, guys, I want to make sure we're all relaxing. Are we all relaxing? I want to make sure we're all relaxing. So I do want to make sure no one is doing any work whatsoever. Is anyone doing any maths? No, good. Okay, anyone doing any writing? Okay, stop doing that. Anyone doing any cooking? Okay, you better stop doing that because we're supposed to be on holiday, all right? That would spoil the holiday. If someone has got that checklist, that's not the point of a holiday. The point of a holiday is you rest, you relax. And God is saying, I didn't give you the Sabbath so that you could tick all those boxes. I gave it to you so you could rest. That's why I gave it to you. The Sabbath was given for man, not man for the Sabbath. And then Jesus says, so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And the commentators also, Jesus is not simply saying, I'm in charge of the Sabbath, I'll tell you what you should do. He's saying, I am Lord of rest. I give rest. The Sabbath was always pointing to me and the rest that I can give. And if you're not sure, is that really what this is saying, this Jesus being Lord of the Sabbath? You could look later in the book of Hebrews more. Chapter 4, verse 9 says this, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Have a look through Hebrews and you will see that is exactly what it's pointing to. It's saying the Sabbath laws all pointed to Jesus and the rest that he and he alone can give. So how does Jesus give you and me rest? Through faith in Jesus, when we put our trust in Jesus, a wonderful swap takes place. We've talked about this before. A wonderful swap takes place. We get Jesus's good life credited to us. And Jesus gets our badness put on him. And that is the rest that we can have. Jesus's good life is put on us. Now, if you remember, do you remember at Jesus's baptism, chapter back, in chapter 1? When God, the voice of God the Father comes and speaks to Jesus and says to Jesus, you are my Son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. You are my Son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. I want you to imagine that today you heard God say to you, just imagine, you heard God say to you, you're my child, I love you, with you I am well pleased. Can you imagine the rest that would give you? The heart rest, that would just make you go, okay, I'm all right. God loves me. He's pleased with me. God said that to Jesus. Jesus, he said, you're my Son. I love you. With you, I'm well pleased. Now, here's the thing. When you become a Christian, you're so united with Christ, so joined to Christ that this swap takes place. Jesus' righteous life gets credited as yours. And therefore, it is absolutely the case that if you're a Christian, because you're united to Jesus, God says to you today, you are my child. I love you. With you, I am well pleased. That is yours if you're a Christian. And your badness gets put on Jesus. So all the wrong you've ever done, all the times you've let people down, all the things that you've done wrong gets put on him. Now, do you see how that gives us rest? Why do we work and work and work? To try to prove ourselves that we're good enough. And God says, if you're a Christian, you've got that approval. Through trust in Jesus, it's yours already. You can rest. Jesus says, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. I can give you rest. And only Jesus can give that rest. That's real rest. Now you might think, well, maybe that leads to just inactivity. That leads to Christians not doing anything. Because you think, well, I've got God's approval. Don't need to do anything. It doesn't lead to that, actually. The film Chariots of Fire, I don't know if you've seen that film, Chariots of Fire, it's a great film, isn't it? It was a long time ago that I saw it, but it follows some sprinters in the Olympic Games, old film. And it follows particularly a Christian called Eric Liddell. And it also follows another guy called Harold Abrahams, who was not a Christian. And there are an interesting couple of quotes from the film. Abrahams, not a Christian, in talking about the race he needed to run, the sprint that he needed to do, said, I've got 10 seconds to justify my existence. That's what he said about the sprint. I've got 10 seconds to justify my existence. That race is going to determine whether his life was worth anything. That's a lot of pressure. That's proving yourself, isn't it, through your work. Eric Liddell said about running, God made me fast. When I run, I feel his pleasure. God made me fast. When I run, I feel his pleasure. Do you see the difference? Harold Abrahams is saying, my running is going to justify my existence. Eric Liddell is saying, I've got God's approval, so I can run and I can know God's pleasure. Do you see, they both run, but it's very different. Tim Keller, again, in his book, where I quoted from earlier, and you'll see the quote in just a moment again, he picks up on this story, and he says this on the screen. Harold Abrahams, the non-Christian, was weary even when he rested, and Eric Liddell was rested even when he was exerting himself. Why? Because there's a work underneath our work that we really need rest from. It's the work of self-justification. It's the work that often leads us to take refuge in religion. Most of us work and work trying to prove ourselves, to convince God, others, and ourselves that we're good people. That work is never over unless we rest in the gospel. Are you resting in the gospel? Have you come to Jesus as Lord of the Sabbath, the only one who can give rest? He is the only one who can give it. Well, as we finish, notice how the passage ends, will you? Chapter 3, verse 6, Jesus performs a healing on the Sabbath, which is exactly what the Sabbath was about. It was about rest. It was about restoration. And yet the Pharisees can't cope with it. Verse 6, the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. They plan how they're going to kill Jesus. Do you see? This is the new wine, and they're the old wineskin. They're not going to cope with Jesus. Because religion doesn't cope with Jesus. If we think we've got to work to prove ourselves, and there'll be plenty of people who will feel, oh, I can't just take Jesus's goodness onto myself and give him my badness. I've got to prove myself. It just doesn't fit with Jesus. The new wine doesn't fit with the old wineskin. Have you come to Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, and found your rest in him? Can I encourage you today to take time to enjoy that rest? If you're a Christian, take some time and stop and enjoy the rest you have in Jesus and take time with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the rest that we can have through Jesus. Thank you that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And I pray for each one here that we would turn to Jesus, know the rest that only he can give, and that that would bring us great joy, and that therefore when we go out to work, we would do so not to gain your approval, not to prove ourselves, but knowing your approval and living a life of joy out of that. Amen.